Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300. I always think of them sometimes as refugees. A lot of these churches that grow fast, kind of like mushrooms, they pop up, they build their big box auditoriums, they are full Sunday after Sunday, and then one discovers that there's a steady stream of people who are leaving. Now, they're leaving for all sorts of reasons, but many of them are burnt out on God altogether. They are, well, in some ways, hurt by the church. How does the church care pastorally for former evangelicals? Joining us to talk about that for the remainder of this first hour on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 19th, here on Issues, Etc., Pastor Jeremy Rohde. He's pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. Pastor Rohde, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be on.
Why are so many people just burnt out with Pop American Christianity?
I think they've grown weary of the gimmicks and games that at first have appeal, at first seem novel, catchy, edgy, and done in service of the gospel and of intriguing people into hearing the gospel. But then the truth of the matter is that churches give up the preaching of Christ and the preaching of Christ crucified for the sinners there in that place. And in giving up him as the very bread of life, the junk food of cultural relevance just simply no longer satisfies them, and they go looking for something else.
You talk about, we need to make some distinctions here in our conversation, but before that, in broad terms, you talk about refugees from Pop American Christianity as injured souls. What do you mean?
Sure. Pastoral care for former evangelicals is almost always caring for people who in one way or another have been hurt by the church, whether it's that they're weary of the gimmicks and games, or in many cases, they didn't so much leave their church as their church left them. And many folks then, whether through a long period of study or personal trial, come to see that what they've been taught is wrong, or at the very least has holes. Life happens to them. And when sin or death in one of its many forms, whether it's loss of a job, loss of a loved one, death of a marriage, or even just the daily grind, sin and death take them out of victory mode, and they're left hurting, reeling. And the theology they've been taught, the theology that's given them on Sunday mornings, just doesn't have the answer.
Well, I mean, it tries to provide an answer, Pastor Rohde. I mean, it has to acknowledge that people die, or that marriages break up, or that children get sick, or things like that. But it sounds as though the answers there are really not just personally dissatisfying, but not genuinely scriptural answers, therefore with no abiding truth in them.
I think that's true. And even where there are answers given that appear on the surface level to be scriptural, they're given in such a way as to turn the hurting soul back in on itself. In other words, if you're suffering, here's the answer. You need to pray more. You need to root out the sin in your life. You need to get your nose in the Bible. You need to. And the soul is crying out because at its root essence, the problem is me. the problem is with me, and I can't have a pastor pointing me back to myself. I've got to have another answer.
Are the former evangelicals that you deal with, are they able to articulate it the way that you are? Or do they need some help in even identifying what it is, in what ways they are injured by Pop American Christianity?
Both and. I find that some are just sad or mad at the church, to borrow an expression, while others really have gone through a long process of study, and that mixed with personal trial, and they know, they can tell you exactly what's gone wrong, exactly what doctrines they were once taught, to which they held, that have let them down, that have failed them in the time of need, and that ultimately have proven to not be true biblically or helpful for them spiritually.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Jeremy Rohde, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, talking about pastoral care for former evangelicals. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 19th. I invite your questions or your comments. If you are one of those recovering evangelicals, a refugee from Pop American Christianity, I certainly want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Stay tuned. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Virginia Ironside writes an advice column for a paper in the United Kingdom. During a recent TV interview, she made some appalling statements. She said, "If I were a mother of a suffering child, I would be the first to want to put a pillow over its face." Further, she said, "If a baby is to be born severely disabled or totally unwanted, surely abortion is the act of a loving mother." Two women on the set were horrified by her statements. Miss Ironside herself has had two abortions. Her second abortion, she claims, was for the good of her baby. What if a burglar broke into her home and right before killing her said it was for her own good? I'm guessing she'd disagree. Well, so did her babies. They just didn't have a voice to be heard.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. We're talking about pastoral care for former evangelicals. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. Pastor Rohde, let's make a distinction that you say is really necessary, because we use the general term Pop American Christianity or American Evangelicalism, but we do have to distinguish between kind of an Arminian, a decision theology wing of this thing, and as you say, a more Reformed, kind of in the classical sense, Calvinist in its theology wing of this thing. Why is that distinction important to make, and please make it for us?
Well, it's true. These categories don't always hold, and as Lutherans we often, and perhaps rightly, lump the two together. But for pastoral care, a distinction should definitely be made, I think. In most cases, the dynamics in either faith tradition are different, and they end up hurting and harming Christian souls in somewhat unique ways, though ultimately it boils down to the same thing. For the former evangelical Christian, you're talking about someone who very frequently has simply not been catechized or taught the substance of their faith in any formal way, whereas oftentimes, for example, with the Reformed, you have a much more educated Christian in terms of what the confession is, what their doctrine is, and that in and of itself elicits some different ways of doing pastoral care depending upon which sort of individual you're dealing with.
Let's deal with the first one first, kind of the untaught, uninstructed. Church was a great place to connect with people, to find new friends, to substitute, kind of surrogate family. And, you know, I kind of pay attention to what they teach there, but it really is more about the community, that kind of typical experience. How do they come injured out of that experience?
Sure. They basically have suffered from Christless Christianity, or maybe it's more accurately a crossless Christianity. They do have a Christ that is taught them. It's often Christ is the life coach, Christ is the entertainer. The Jews seek after a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but Americans desire to be entertained. So it's not that they're not getting Christ. They're getting a Christ. They're just simply not getting a Christ that comes to us on the cross, a Christ that is centered in really his death and resurrection for you. And this leads people really into a failure, an inability to cope with real life when it happens. So oftentimes I'll see former evangelicals who are reeling from the effects of sin and death, and the relational, happy, everything's okay theology of the typical non-denominational church simply can't deal with the realities of sin and death.
Well, is there a sense, or do they at least up to a point carry around the sense that, wow, I'm the only one who seems to be bothered by this stuff? The rest of these Christians, I mean, they really are in victory mode. They seem to have overcome their worries, their anxieties, their struggles against sin. They're all doing great, and I'm the only one who seems to be dropping the ball.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that haunts some of them. In fact, people have told me years after the fact that they sat in those churches haunted by that thought that everyone else is pulling it off, but they're the only ones not able to. And when they sought for answers, when they asked, always, of course, I have a friend that's going through this, too embarrassed to ask it first person for themselves, the answer is that they're given always turns them back in on themselves. They're just taught to look internally. Well, do you have faith? How's your spiritual walk? Do you have works? Are you exhibiting the Christian life? And the answer is always, for the honest person, no, 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 and that's the problem.
Okay. How far do they go in those struggles, Pastor, before they finally say, all right, it may be working for everybody else, but not for me? I mean, what is usually the breaking point for someone who's been pushed back in on themselves, as you have said here several times?
I think it differs for every single individual. There's probably a different point. Some end up walking away from the church altogether and are just simply done with Christianity. The sad thing is they probably haven't heard the gospel rightly. So they're walking away from what they think is Christianity rather than Christianity itself. And there are others who don't make that clean break, but just say, you know, something's wrong with this church. I've got to explore some other churches. And then in both instances, really the only ones that are going to be able to reach out to these folks are their Christian friends, who they can trust, who they can level with, and probably Christian friends not of that church that they were going to, because there's too much bound into that theology of having a good face to everyone else. They've got to have, hopefully, some Lutheran friends who can level with them and say, yeah, life is bad and sin is present in every one of us, but you need to come to a church where the gospel is preached every single week. That's where you have opportunity to confess, opportunity to hear of the death of Jesus, of his resurrection, and to find strength and hope that just utterly grounds your life in the gospel week after week, and in fact, day after day.
You say that pastoral care for this brand of former evangelical really has to do with kind of pulling them out from within themselves and laying before them objective things. What do you mean?
Yeah, taking eyes off belly buttons and putting them on Christ. I mean, that's maybe a crass way of saying it, but that's the truth. I think Dr. Rod Rosenblatt uses a phrase that really pricks ears in a good way, and he says, your faith doesn't save you. It's what you put your faith in, and that is, for us, Jesus Christ. So that distinction, to get people to look outside, so that they're not having faith in their faith, but they're having faith in Jesus, that makes all the difference. So a great deal of the pastoral care I do is taking someone away from taking their eyes off themselves and putting their eyes on Jesus and on Jesus where he may be found.
And where is that?
Specifically, according to Scripture, he's found where he promises to be in his word and sacraments. In Matthew 28, of course, he says, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he attaches that statement to what has just gone before, to making disciples by baptism and by teaching them everything he has given. Baptism and teaching, there's the root, there's the foundation, the ground of it all. That's where to find Jesus. And then, of course, introduced into that and becoming a disciple, then you are invited to the table where Christ himself says, this is my body for you, and this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now, that New Testament in my blood, that means everything. Everything. The whole New Testament right there, Jesus himself for you, that's where he may be found.
You say that many of these former evangelicals haven't explicitly, consciously rejected Scripture's teaching on the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper and absolution. They just don't know what the Bible does teach about them. Talk about that.
Over and over, I find that to be the case, not universally, but when you're talking about a non-denominational church, again, that really doesn't teach the faith or that has kind of an anything goes, you pick and choose what you want to believe setup, that folks just aren't actually taught anything regarding the sacraments, whether they're right or wrong or what they are or what they are not. They've never even asked the questions. So over and over again, I'll find myself in someone's home going through a passage like Romans 6 on baptism, and they're going, my goodness, I've just never even thought that this is actually a baptism into his death and resurrection, just like the Scriptures say. So in that way, I find many of these folks aren't antagonistic at all, but they have honest questions. How can water do such great things? And of course, the beauty of our heritage as Lutherans is we have a catechism that answers these questions. That's often the time I introduce the catechism and say, you know, that very question and the others you might have are answered right here by Luther. In the case of baptism, certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things.
And then
the dots start to get connected.
With about 30 seconds here, you also say that introducing them to what has been classically called the theology of the cross is also crucial. With about 30 seconds, introduce us to that.
Sure. A theology of the cross, again, in 30 seconds, is what happens when victory mode gets the teeth kicked out of it by sin and death and everything that is this fallen life. And there you realize that you are living day in, day out, coram Deo, before God, And that can either fill you with terror or it can fill you with the utmost comfort when you realize that the God you stand before is the God who reveals himself to us in Christ Jesus, crucified for our sins, resurrected for our eternal life. With him ever before us, we then have peace, and we have a way of dealing then with the suffering that comes to us in this life.
It's Tuesday afternoon, the 19th of October. I want to hear from you on pastoral care for former evangelicals. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. Our Twitter address, at issuesetc. The Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour, including our conversation with Pastor Jeremy Rohde of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, about pastoral care to former evangelicals. This email comes from Kathy. She writes, I think the other things that Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Lutherans need to be aware of is when we came back and became Lutheran, we have issues with the law being put onto us. Not all LCMS churches deliver Christ and Him crucified in their purity. And there are some out there, but there's still those that want to dabble in this Christian-centered theology. Many longtime Lutherans don't see the harm in this. They don't realize that they're playing with eternal fire. Your thoughts there about dabbling in the very kind of things that many people find injurious to their souls?
Well, I think that that's the truth. As a lifelong Lutheran, I think I speak for many lifelong Lutherans who have occasionally and from time to time lost sight of the most important thing. And it is extremely easy for us to slip into a Christian-centered Christianity rather than a Christ-centered Christianity. So I think the emailer makes a wonderfully valid point. And to realize, well, and let me just go this direction with it and say that this is the gift that former evangelicals give to Lutheran congregations when they come, when they are fervent and passionate about the gospel. If the pastor confuses law and gospel, they are the first ones to speak up and hold him to his call and hold him to the gospel. This is the most healthy and wonderful thing for many pastors and congregations to have. But the bottom line is, in all preaching, in all Christian teaching, the last answer has nothing to do with the Christian. It has everything to do with Christ. The last word is, it is finished, and that's his word.
These thoughts come from Kia. She says, I'm a survivor of an evangelical church. I recently had a chance to go back to the church to worship with a friend. It was anything but worship. I had to fight hard to retain some sense of reverence and had to constantly remind myself that this was, in fact, a church because they were meeting in an old movie theater. There were points that made me almost laugh, like sappy songs accompanied with video montages of sad-looking poor people, as if they were the only ones who needed Christ. I was surprised by how the self was the center of the worship and not God. Having had the privilege of being reformed, I know that I could never go back. Your thoughts there, Pastor Brody?
Yeah, my initial reaction to that is the old adage, lex orandi, lex credendi, that the law of prayer and the law of belief are intermingled and intertwined and reflect each other, such that if you have a theology that is man-centered, you're going to end up having a worship that is man-centered. And what we've seen universally through and in the disintegration of the American church is that it's become man-centered. And why stop with the Christian? Why not make it man-centered of any religion? And it's the slow slide into universalism, into just the crassest form of paganism. That then is reflected sadly and tragically in many evangelical, quote-unquote, worship experiences.
You say there's also another kind of former or refugee from Pop American Christianity you mentioned before, usually of a more Calvinistic bent in the theology and serious in theology, very knowledge-oriented. What does pastoral care look like for these refugees from Pop American Christianity?
Much the same, in the sense that they too have been wounded or injured in one way or another, and I'll get to that in a minute. But first, it's these folks may know plenty about Jesus and sometimes even plenty about doctrine, but that's just the problem, as I diagnose it. Knowing about Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus who is for you. For many in this tradition, knowledge itself becomes sort of the sacrament. It's the place where God meets you. You have to learn more, know more, argue better. And for some, knowledge just becomes a ladder and yet another ladder that they can't climb. With that realization comes the beginning of that soul's hurt. Because a person is ultimately taught to look inwardly to what they know. Now, this whole process might be totally different from evangelical theology, but the end result is the same. The soul is turned in on itself, and the knowledge itself isn't very comforting, because aside from being contrary to the plain scriptures, limited atonement is a terrifying doctrine. You cannot look to the cross. It may or may not be for you. You can't even be sure you're elect. You may or may not be. So what is the evidence that you are elect, that Christ did die for you? And here's where it comes. Your faith, your works, you. So when life happens and when sin and death show up, it's a recipe for either self-righteousness, my works, my faith, victory mode, or despair. And it's those despairing Christians that darken the door of a Lutheran church.
So you say you need to, take it from 2D to 3D. You need to show them, as you say, the for-you-ness in the real presence of Christ in his word and sacraments. About a minute there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what it is, to not preach as a pastor. You don't preach about forgiveness. You forgive them. You don't preach about Christ. You preach Christ crucified for them. And you preach the sacraments, that this right here. Here is where you find Jesus himself on earth for you. And when people get this, it is like going from a two-dimensional drawing to three-dimensional reality. It's Jesus with you, for you, here in the divine service, for the forgiveness of your sins. That makes all the difference.
Two final questions. You say that the very things that so many Lutherans nowadays think of as weaknesses, as kind of the downside of being Lutheran, especially in terms of outreach, are in fact the greatest strengths, confessions, and the historic liturgy. About a minute to respond.
Absolutely. For most people, I think they're suffering with confessionless Christianity. People have often been taught to believe whatever they want to believe. And, I mean, this does fill some folks with arrogance and naivete, but for others, it becomes a heavy burden. They realize that doctrinally, they're on their own. And many Christians suffer, and some secretly, with this burden that, well, it's just up to me, and there really is no guideline. Whether they realize it or not, they're dying to have a confession, something that says where the lines are. And often this is how I introduce the Lutheran confessions. They define the Christian faith. Here are the lines. Here is what unites us. This is what it means to be a Christian in all times and in all places, even now. And people crave this. So the confessions themselves are a vehicle to reaching out to these folks.
Finally, then, with only 30 seconds, talk to a struggling evangelical listening to us. Why should they consider Lutheran Reformation theology? 30 seconds, Pastor Rohde.
Sure. Consider Lutheran Reformation theology because it is a theology of Christ's death and resurrection, a theology that is capable of embracing the full experience of this life, all of its sufferings and heartaches, all of its joy and hope, all of it encompassed in the death and resurrection of Christ. The Lutheran faith is so intensely simple that even a five-year-old child can grasp it, and yet it is so profound and substantial that you can never exhaust it your entire life.
Pastor Jeremy Rohde is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. Pastor, thanks for the interview, and especially thanks to you and our friends at Faith Lutheran in Capistrano Beach for being a sponsoring congregation, part of the Issues Etc. 300.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Many congregations are putting together their budget. They're drawing out the basic outlines of what they're going to include and exclude from their annual budget right now. And we would like Issues Etc. to be included in your congregation's annual budget. Doing so makes your congregation part of the Issues Etc. 300, $1,000 or more in your annual budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at our website, issuesetc.org. We've even given you there on the support page a one-page flyer that you can print off and take to your congregation as it's making its budget decisions right about now. The Issues Etc. 300. Keep in mind your congregation's budget deadline. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues. We're going to be talking about, well, kind of picking up where we left off with Pastor Rohde. The presence of God. Where is it? Is some sort of ethereal, spiritual, wispy, misty thing out there? Jesus is here, he's there, he's everywhere, but no place in particular, and maybe no place for me. Or is the presence of God, in fact, something that is very located, very particular, and promised by Christ himself? We'll talk about the presence of God, the means of grace, as Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest. When a theology turns you in on yourself, sooner or later you'll end up with just that, only yourself to rely on. And a theology that points you to Christ and his cross, well, there's something you can rely on for a lifetime and in death and beyond. We'll be right back with hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.